Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. The Bunyip, one of Australia's most feared and famous cryptids. Coming from ancient Australian Aboriginal lore, the Bunyip has been one of my favorite cryptids for a very, very long time, and I've wanted to do a video on this, but never quite found the time to do so. Recently, I teamed up with my good friend T.W. Grimm to help me research and write up a video about this. So, without further ado, let's get into the strange and creepy story of the Bunyip. I feel compelled to take the unconventional step of breaking the fourth wall to make a confession. I began my research into the legend of the Bunyip with my skeptic's hat firmly in place, as usual. But at the time of this writing, I have to admit that I'm honestly not too sure anymore. Although much of the evidence could be dismissed as anecdotal, in my opinion, there are some very compelling arguments in favor of this overgrown critter's existence. Whether the Bunyip is a myth, an animal that became extinct in the not-so-distant past, or a carnivorous brute that still lives on in the present, I simply can't dismiss this cryptid as yet another manifestation of human fears and insecurities. The legend of the Bunyip begins with an accidental discovery in the colony of New South Wales in the year of 1818. Two early explorers and their party happened upon some highly unusual skeletal remains on the shore of Lake Bathurst, a shallow lake located near the eastern coast of Australia. Hamilton Hume and James Meehan described the scattered bones as a resembling that of a hippopotamus or a manatee, but they were adamant that they were remains to something completely different. The Philosophical Society of Australasia offered to pay for Hamilton's expenses if he would return to the area and recover a specimen of this marvelous new creature. But Hume was unable to repeat the journey, and his discovery soon faded into legend. The Aboriginals in the area would have undoubtedly identified the skeletal behemoth as a Bunyip, a carnivorous, semi-aquatic beast that they believed to inhabit freshwater lakes and deep holes along edges of rivers and swamps. Bunyip can be translated to devil or evil spirit. The author Robert Holden identified at least 9 regional variations of the Bunyip across Aboriginal Australia. The Bunyip's general size and shape was often described as being a strange hybrid of a seal, dinosaur, and hippopotamus. But accounts are wildly different concerning the creature's facial features. Some have stated that the Bunyip's head as being like a dog's, but other sightings relay the cryptid's features as being more reptilian in nature. Some witnesses claimed it bears a coat of short, dark fur, much like a seal. Others reported it was smooth-skinned, like an amphibian, while still others swore up and down that the creature was at least partially covered in dull-looking feathers. Many of the witnesses testified that the Bunyip emitted a rough, bellowing cry that made them think twice about approaching any closer to the bizarre-looking beast. The Aboriginals believed that the Bunyip was a dangerous predator, quick to anger and physically formidable. Many of them believed that the mysterious animal was a supernatural beast, and they avoided any water that may have been haunted by one of these malignant creatures. As Europeans pushed their way across the continent in the 1840s and 50s, bunyip sightings became more commonplace. In 1845, the Geelong Advertiser reported on the discovery of fossilized bones not so far from the settlement, which they claimed were identified by an Aboriginal man as belonging to a bunyip. The article breathlessly recounted an incident where a woman was killed by a bunyip and told of a man named Mamamwan, who showed several deep wounds on his breast made by the claws of the animal. The paper went on to claim that the beast has a head resembling an emu, with long bills at the end, had an extremity of which is transverse projection on each side, with serrated edges like the bone of a stingray. Its body and legs partake of the nature of the alligator. The hind legs are remarkably thick and strong, and the forelegs are much longer, but still of great strength. They went on to say that the extremities are furnished with long claws, but its usual method of killing its prey was by hugging it to death. When in the water, swims like a frog, and when on shore, it walks on its hind legs with its head erect, in which position it measures 12 or 13 feet in height. An escaped convict named William Buckley claimed to have had many encounters with the bunyip during the 30 years he spent living with the Wathaurong people. He claimed that they had been found in many inland lakes, and they were covered in dusky gray feathers. Buckley also insisted that the animal was known to have supernatural powers of malign power, capable of causing sickness and famine if angered by the interference of human beings. He was tempted to spear one of the creatures so that he might preserve its hide and skeleton for a specific inquiry on the scientific end, but he didn't dare carry out this plan for two very good reasons. One, the bunyip was noted by the Wathaurong people as being extremely strong and ferocious, and two, his native host would surely turn on Buckley and kill him if he did so, murdering him in retribution for bringing the supernatural wrath of the bunyip down upon their people. In January of 1846, a strange and unfamiliar-looking skull was found by a settler on the banks of the Murrumbidgee River near Balranald, New South Wales. In March of the same year, a bunyip or gigantic platypus was spotted sunning itself on the banks of the Yarra River, just on the other side of the river from the Custom House in Melbourne. A crowd formed, and three men in a boat set out to capture the brute, but it disappeared into the river when they drew close. From all accounts, if the mysterious creature really was a bunyip, the men in the boat were probably lucky to escape with their lives. The Murrumbidgee skull was identified by several experts as being that of a deformed fetal skull of a foal or a calf, but the Australian Museum in Sydney still chose to put the artifact on display for 2 days in July of 1847. It was reported by a local newspaper that many of the visitors who were lined up to view the skull were sharing their own encounters with the bunyip amongst themselves. Although many of these stories were likely cases of mistaken identity or even outright fabrication, it was clear that the bunyip had become more than a rumor or a myth in the eyes of the general population. In 1857, a British artist named Edwin Stockwheeler reportedly made a drawing of a bunyip while making sketches of the scenery along the Murray and Goulburn rivers. Although the incident was sensationalized in papers, Mr. Stockwheeler maintained that he had seen and sketched a bunyip. He said the animal was mostly submerged in the water, with only its neck, back, and shoulders visible above the water. The sketch was later incorporated into a diorama that was said to be a mile in length when assembled, but the work of the art has sadly been lost over the intervening years. It has been argued that the discoveries of these unfamiliar-looking remains could be attributed to naturally occurring birth defects in some of the larger Australian fauna, as in the case of the misidentified remains found beside the Murrumbidgee River. However, this creates a sharp and very obvious counterargument. How many individuals of any given species could realistically be born with a fairly specific set of physical defects, when there is no documented evidence of these defects in the living populace? Why and when did this trend of deformity come to an end? To date, there has been very little evidence brought to light which might support this theory. It would be very tempting to the intellectually lazy skeptic to explain away eyewitness accounts as the misidentification of Australian wildlife. In fact, it was asserted by the educator and geographer Charles Fenner that the bunyip is actually a result of non-coastal aboriginals encountering seals that had made their way inland via the Murray and Darling rivers. Fenner stated that the bunyip's unusual proportions could be attributed to the exaggeration and distortion through repeated retellings of the encounter. Frankly, I find the notion that the aboriginals could repeatedly mistake in a seal for a fierce, man-eating beast is at best very naive, and at worst, it's an extraordinarily smug, baseless, and condescending argument. People who live off the land are more than capable of recognizing the wildlife that shares their home. In fact, oftentimes, their lives depend on it. This argument smacks of preconceived notions and contempt for the Australian Aboriginals, a people who had thrived for 30,000 years before suffering massive casualties during violent clashes with their European invaders, as well as suffering the twin specters of famine and disease, both brought on by denial of access to their old hunting grounds. On the topic of evidence, the bunyip is one of the few cryptids whose existence was, at one point, supported by some kind of physical proof. The proof in question was named the Challicum Bunyip by an article published in the magazine Australasian in 1851. The Challicum Bunyip was an outline of a bunyip that was killed on the banks of a creek near Challicum Station, near Ararat, Victoria. According to the legend, a bunyip lunged out of the deep watering hole and seized a man from a passing group of natives, killing him in the attack. One of the hapless victim's companions brought the bunyip down with repeated thrust of his spear. Soon after this incident, the locals decided to cut an outline of the dead beast in the turf, which they would retrace every year for an unknown period of time. It still existed as late as 1867. When the site was visited by Mr. R.E. Johns, the clerk of Petty Sessions in the small settlement of Moonambell. Mr. Jones drew a sketch of the outline that closely matched a drawing made in 1855 by George Henry Wathen, who made detailed measurements that put the size of the creature at 28 feet from tip to tip. Johns also made a map of the outline's location. Unfortunately, the area was soon settled by new European arrivals, and although the outline was fenced off for a period of time, the land was eventually used as a grazing pasture for sheep, and the outline was forever lost. Australia is a continent filled with bizarre life forms. Consider the platypus, a duck-billed, egg-laying aquatic mammal that is equipped with the poison spurs on its hind legs. Or the thorny devil, a spiky little reptile that drinks through grooves in its hide that draw moisture towards its mouth. Throughout the Pliocene epoch, a period of time that ended only 12,000 years ago, Australia was home to a variety of gigantic megafauna, such as Diprotodon, a marsupial that stood over 6 feet at the shoulder and weighed in at a whopping 6 tons, or the Dromornithids, flightless birds who towered at heights of 9 or 10 feet in the air. A bunyip would certainly not seem out of place in such remarkable company. Indeed, as early as 1871, experts such as Dr. George Bennett have forwarded their theory that the bunyip is a racial memory of Aboriginal encounters with the Diprotodon. It's worth noting that a distant cousin of the Diprotodon, a powerful predator known as the marsupial lion, was an impressive killing machine that could weigh up to 350 pounds. Fight while standing on its hind legs, and is believed to have had the strongest comparable bite to any known mammal, living or extinct. The marsupial lion didn't become extinct until roughly 46,000 years ago, allowing for the possibility that it terrorized Australia's first human citizens for a good 14,000 years before the species dwindled and died. If the ancient aboriginals once fell prey to the likes of the land-dwelling marsupial lion, it would not be completely out of the realm of possibility that they may have been menaced by an equally savage aquatic counterpart, the bunyip. It could very well be that this beast evolved to occupy a specific niche over millions of years. A hardy mammal that was designed to endure extreme adversity and hardship. As the other megafauna slowly fell to climate change, natural disasters, and the cunning human invaders with their spears, the Bunyip lived on, surviving through its ability to spend much of its time hiding in the deep waters. It could very well be that the new invasion of European colonists spelled the end for the Bunyip, the last of the Australian giants. With their gunpowder and ballistic expertise, it's easy to imagine that this second wave of human conquerors were the straw that broke the camel's back with the already stressed Bunyip population, and they joined their ancestors in the cold crypt of extinction. Of course, this is all conjecture. No one has ever brought forth and analyzed the remains of a Bunyip, and certainly no one has ever obtained evidence of a live specimen. Still, the absence of evidence does not necessarily equate to the evidence of absence. This principle can be demonstrated by the discovery of the coelacanth off the coast of South Africa in 1938. The coelacanth is a prehistoric fish that was thought to have been extinct in the late Cretaceous some 66 million years ago. Since then, dozens more of the primitive fish have been documented in the waters that surround Africa and Indonesia. It's likely that the people have been occasionally catching the unpleasant-tasting fish in their nest for countless millennia, but had no idea they were tossing back a living exhibit of ancient history. All things considered, there's an unusually strong case for the existence of this cryptid. In fact, I'm not sure if the word cryptid is even the correct term for this animal. Unlike most cryptids, the Bunyip could possibly be placed somewhere in the sprawling tree of our planet's evolutionary history. I feel that there's at least a slim chance the Bunyip once reigned supreme over the freshwater lakes and rivers of Australia, a fierce and successful mammalian predator that struck terror in the hearts and minds of prehistoric man. Yet, the questions remain. Are they truly gone? Australia is an enormous island, boasting an area of 4.7 million square miles. Could an isolated population of the creature still be inhabiting some remote lake or backwater? While I don't believe that is very likely, I don't disbelieve it either. Throughout the history of our planet, many strange life forms have dwelt beneath the umbrella of our innocuous blue skies. It's an interesting legend that fires the imagination, and it opens the discussion of how prehistoric species could be classified if they survived into the modern age. I hope you enjoyed this investigative documentary, and I look forward to replying to all of your comments and theories down below. If you enjoyed this documentary, be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. This was a lot of fun to make, and it took a lot of time and effort. So please, if you can, hit that like button, leave me a comment below, and potentially share this on your Facebook, your Twitter, or any other social media you may have. If you have a story or anything else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that keep this channel going. Much love to my friend T.W. Grimm who helped me research and write this up. If you guys liked this, be sure to show him some love. I'll see you all soon with another creepy video.